This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Flights of Fantasy, your podcast book club. I am one of your hosts, Anna, and I'm joined today just with Kim because poor Christina has lost her voice.
Yeah.
She has laryngitis.
It's so sad, you guys.
It's very sad.
She sounds like she's crying or about to cry
every time she talks.
But she's not. But so we made the executive decision. We were supposed to be recording a different episode tonight, but we felt like, let's just Anna and I get on and do like a very quick, very chill, just recent
reads.
Keep it
light, keep it tight.
We're keeping it light and tight tonight, friends. Just some books that we have been reading recently. We're going to have...
Yes.
Anna has some KU books. I have one KU book, but mine are mostly non-KU. So you're going to get a little bit of... everything tonight.
A little bit of everything. So we're excited because we haven't done one of these in a while where we've done like a book rec episode.
I know.
I feel like over the last few months, we've all read a lot.
Yeah.
I can't even cover everything I've read.
I know. Anna reads so much, you guys, outside of the podcast. I read like a little bit. Christina, I don't know how much she reads. She has a much smaller child than us, but
yeah.
And our kids are in school every day. But we haven't like recorded an episode since,
no.
I mean, Fourth Wing, but like it doesn't really count.
Kim and I are similar in that I don't know if I would describe myself as a mood reader, but I get into a genre.
Yes.
And then I can't, that's all I want to read.
Exactly.
So I'm sorry, listeners. It's all mafia.
It's all mafia tonight.
Well, and mine... I guess it's not all mafia. Technically, a lot of them, some of them are like billionaire contemporary romance.
Okay.
So it's not mafia. So I should take that back. There are a couple. So.
Anna likes what she likes, and we love that about her. And you guys love it too because you guys DM us all the time. And I have been in my thriller era lately. I don't know what is going on.
And that's awesome.
I just like the fall vibes are really getting to me, and all I want to read are thrillers. And so, but I do have a sports romance that I'm so excited for Christina and Anna to eventually get to because it's number 3 in a series. But
is it caught up?
It's caught up.
I'm so excited for you to talk about this.
It's so,
I'm so excited.
So good. Like, it's so good. I can't even explain to you. Obviously, I can't say much, but but we'll get there. So okay. I don't think we're doing spoilers on any of these.
No spoilers on any of these. We're just going to do good reads. Like, we'll read like the summary of the book
yeah.
and then we'll give like our thoughts and opinions.
For sure.
And that's it. Just like our other ones.
Yeah,
other
exactly.
episodes. And we will make sure that we list them in the show notes.
We will do that. Yes. So don't worry about like trying to, you know, write them down or anything. They will be in the show notes for you as you're listening to this. So Anna, do you want to start us off?
Okay, so I'm just going to touch upon really quickly Megan Quinn's, I think it's her latest book. It came out in August, I believe. It's called The Way I Hate Him, mm-hmm. again, by Megan Quinn. And guys, I think this will just say everything. I went to go write a review and put this in my, Anna's review.
Right.
And every time I went to go write it, I just couldn't figure out what I wanted to say.
Mm.
And now here we are, 2.5 months after I've read it.
Yeah.
And I just... feel the same way. I am very meh about it.
Right.
And it's unfortunate because Megan, when she hits for us,
mm-hmm.
we love her.
Oh my
God. She makes
God.
Us laugh, the steam.
Oh.
She's always, generally speaking, I love what she writes.
Right.
But I also read that I think I talked about that Scottish book.
Yes.
And I was just, it was just not a hit for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And same with this one. And I mean, it has a lot of good ratings. It's got 4 stars on Goodreads.
Hmm.
And I don't know. It just didn't work.
Didn't work.
Not even going to read the blurb
no.
because I don't want to waste the time.
No.
But there was just something about that dynamic between the two main characters that I honestly don't even remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember them. They were very unmemorable.
Very forgettable, yeah.
Very forgettable. And normally with Megan Quinn, I can still to this day go back and talk about my favorite. favorite scenes.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you anything except that the guy's a grump. That's all I know. Okay. That's all I remember.
Okay. I mean, that's fine.
Okay. So the way I hate him by Megan Quinn, it was a no for me.
It was a meh.
It was a meh.
Hard pass.
Okay. So I do want to talk about a series that I did like.
Okay.
And it is the Ravaged Castle series by Amanda Richardson. She has a ton of books, and she also writes under a pseudonym, which is drawing a blank for me right now.
Okay.
And she writes like a shifter romances under a pseudonym.
Oh.
So if that's your thing, go look her up. I think I read one. Actually, yes. No, I'm pretty sure Christine and I read one together. Like, so,
I think, yeah, y'all did.
Yeah. Like Shadow Bride or Shadow Queen or something. And it was a classic KU shifter book. It's nothing to write home about, folks. But it scratches that itch.
It does.
Okay, so Pray Tell is the first book in the Ravaged Castle series.
Okay.
I wrote a review for this in my Anna's review section.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Okay, I'm just going to read for you my personal, in my own words, like synopsis.
Read it, girl.
Juliet is receiving her PhD in human sexuality. She makes a pros and cons list for every important decision in her life. Chase, that's our main male character, has always denied his feelings for his best friend's little sister. Ooh. But when Juliet ends up at one of Chase's famous parties, quotes,
ooh,
Chase realizes he's done ignoring the chemistry. The trust was always there, but building something more will require testing boundaries.
Oh!
Pat myself on the back for that.
Yeah, that was a great review.
So I read this book in like literally one night. I couldn't put it down. Was it the best romance I've ever read? No.
Sure.
It's like a billionaire contemporary romance.
Okay.
Each book in her series seems to follow like a kink, and this was primal play. So
okay.
Like Chase.
Okay.
And his name, which is kind of ironic because his name is Chase.
That is ironic, yes.
It is not a dark romance.
Okay.
It just has a kink level to it.
Sure.
And like I said, they have grown up knowing each other. So like that trust is there.
Sure.
She's a PhD. She's not like innocent. She's had sex and stuff. But she, for her human sexuality PhD, mm-hmm. she doesn't feel, I guess she still feels kind of like a lot out there that she hasn't explored for her subject and what she studies and what her PhD like dissertation is in.
Got it.
And she wants to explore those things with Chase. So it starts off as like a teach me.
Uh-huh.
He feels like she's very off limits because it's his best friend's sister.
Love that.
But they really do have a trust already.
Sure.
And it's really fun to see because there's not like an enemies to lovers. There is like a bit of like a push and a pull, like I said, because of he feels like she's off limits.
Okay.
But I don't know. It was just a really fun, fast read.
Yeah.
So I won't read the Goodreads synopsis because I feel like mine covered it.
No, your review was fantastic.
But I really, really enjoyed it.
Okay.
And enough so that like I was waiting for the sequel to come out.
Okay.
And each book follows one of the Ravage brothers.
Oh.
And you kind of uncover a little bit about their father in each book. Their father was a complete piece of trash.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure he went to jail for like embezzlement or something. I don't remember. Like the family runs like a business, but they're all trying to come out of their father's shadow because their father was like sent to jail and like ruined the family name.
Oh, gotcha.
And so the Chase from book one and then Miles from book two are in business together.
Okay.
So book two is called Mary Lies.
Okay.
It features Miles and Stella, and I'm going to read the Goodreads synopsis.
Perfect.
Miles. The idea of seeking a wife to salvage our family's reputation starts as a joke until it spirals into a desperate reality. Before I know it, I'm lying my way into a marriage of convenience with a woman who is everything I'm not. Estelle Devereaux radiates warmth where I'm shrouded in darkness. She exudes vibrant colors while I dwell in shades of gray and irritates me with her maddening cheerfulness. I find myself entranced, watching and craving. Before I know it, she's not just my wife, but an all-consuming obsession. Stella. Being presented with an opportunity to kickstart my clothing line is a dream come true. The only caveat, I have to stay married to Miles Ravage for a year and sing his praises to anyone who will listen. Bad-tempered, unsmiling, and cold, Miles is exactly the kind of man I loathe. However, beneath the ice, I uncover an enticing complexity, a veiled darkness that lures me in, begging me to discover his secrets. So,
okay.
Like I said, there's a kink in every book.
Uh-huh.
This kink is voyeurism.
Oh.
Yeah, this is, and I need to be very clear. The book is not like, neither of these books are super, like, it's the right amount of spice, in my opinion,
okay,
with story.
Sure.
So this kind of gives Beauty and the Beast vibes.
Oh.
You learn in book one that their father was an asshole, obviously, but he also, there was a terrible accident in a fire. Like, there was a fire involved in the accident. I'm not going to say what the accident was.
Uh-oh.
It's not like a house fire or anything, but okay, there was like a campfire incident.
Uh-huh.
That should never have happened. And Miles saves his brother, little brother's life by like basically covering his body with himself.
Oh.
And so he has burns, like fourth degree burns all over his like chest, his thighs.
Oh,
he's
wow.
extremely self-conscious about it. The one time he had like a serious girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
she took one look at him the first time they were intimate and was like disgusted,
ew.
I guess. And so he, because of that, is one of the reasons he developed a voyeurism, because he feels like he can't ever be naked in front of another woman.
He can't like participate. Yeah.
Yes. He doesn't feel like he can participate. And when he does, he like keeps his clothes on.
Oh.
But that's not like the main part, but that's a big part of his story is
sure.
the fact that he's uncomfortable with his body.
Yeah.
And Stella is like vibrant, and they meet in this like kind of really cute, like meet cute type situation in the prologue.
Okay.
And they don't see each other for a year.
Oh.
And it's this great, like she's splashing around in a fountain in Paris. You learn late, like her grandmother has died. And
uh-huh.
like one of the things that she wants to do in her grandmother's name is to like do spontaneous things and be like wild.
Oh.
Because she's normally very like kind of structured.
Sure.
And so she like strips in the middle of the night and goes dancing in one of the fountains in like a park in Paris.
Oh my gosh.
And he stumbles upon her and she's like he says, she radiates light.
Uh-huh.
And he can't like not, he's like, what are you doing? Like, she's naked in public. Like,
yeah.
he's not like being a creep about it.
Sure,
he's like,
sure. Yeah.
He stumbles upon her.
Yeah.
And they have this immediate connection and she pushes his boundaries and he, you know, starts to kind of like, he's like, this is the first time he's felt something for somebody.
Sure.
And like, it's like kind of like a really like love lust at first sight.
Okay.
And until things go awry and then they don't see each other for a year until
oh.
like a happen chance meeting.
Oh.
He needs to salvage his family's reputation, and her father runs one of the biggest like philanthropic like companies.
Okay.
And so it's not his idea.
Okay.
It's his father and her father's idea
oh.
that they like have this kind of marriage.
Okay.
And it'll be mutually beneficial
Got
to
it.
Each of them.
Okay.
So there is like, you know, of course, an immediate no on both of their accounts. And
mm-hmm.
then they get married, obviously, because it's a marriage that can be convenience.
Right. Obviously.
And it's, I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I thought Pray Tell. I know I've spent more time talking about Mary Lies, but it's because I've read it the most recently.
Right.
I think Pray Tell in my mind is better in my mind
okay.
than like Mary Lies, but I still really enjoyed Mary Lies.
Okay.
I think Miles was very self-deprecating
mm-hmm.
because of his past. Makes total sense.
Sure.
I don't fault the dude.
Right.
But it kind of came across like him trying to push her away was, he was an asshole.
Uh-huh.
Like he was purposely building walls and like being an asshole so that she wouldn't get close.
Okay.
Meanwhile, behind the scenes, he's like doing all this amazing nice stuff for her.
Okay.
And she doesn't realize it because he doesn't want any credit.
Okay.
She doesn't, because she has, in order to get the money, she has to stay married to him for a year. He does not want her to have a dime of his father's money because he
oh.
thinks his father's a piece of trash.
Okay.
So he's like, you know, as you can imagine, like he's like secretly funding things.
Okay.
And, you know, of course there's like third act drama. I'm like, girlfriend, why are you mad at him? Like this is like, what is going
yeah,
on?
Yeah. What's happening? Yeah.
But there's also like mental health representation. She has severe depression that like sends her kind of, there are things that she does every day. Like she goes for a walk every day and
mm-hmm.
you learn like slowly that's part of like what keeps her feeling mentally healthy and she
okay.
gets up early and she does certain things. And I will say that like when she has kind of these mental health moments that like crisis in the book, he is really wonderful and he doesn't push her. He's there just the right amount,
yeah.
in my opinion.
Sure.
And I don't know. I appreciate the way the author did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that the way he was there for her was the perfect amount.
Okay. I love that.
Yeah. So
I love that.
The first one is Pray Tell. The second one is Mary Lies by Amanda Richardson.
Got it.
These are not dark. There are like mental health things if you want to look up those content warnings, but
right.
it's not dark. And I'm very interested in the rest of the series.
Yeah.
I'm curious about, there are certain things. I don't know how we're going to, there's going to be like a priest one and I don't know
yeah.
how that's going to go.
Are these on?
Because I think everybody is getting a book.
Wow.
He's not a Catholic priest, so like he can get married.
Right. Yeah.
But I am hella interested.
That is going to be interesting. Are these KU or not KU?
These are all KU.
Perfect.
Yes.
Okay.
All
cool.
KU.
So
and they're not long. I think they're like 350 pages, 370. It's like the perfect amount.
That is a perfect
so,
length.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. Those are the first two I'm talking about. Kim, you go.
Okay. I'll start out with a sports romance that Christine and I actually read, and we did not know that the other one was reading it, which, can I tell you, that literally never happens to us because the three of us talk like every single day. Literally every single day we are texting each other. And for some reason, we just happened to read it at the same time. And she had texted us in the group and been like, hey guys, I just read this book called The Home Run Proposal, and like, it's a cute baseball romance. Like, it's nothing like amazing. And I was like, I just read that exact same book. And I was literally about to text you
that's
guys.
That's so funny because normally we love texting each other.
I know.
I know. That's so funny.
So I will say, and this is on KU. It's called The Home Run Proposal. It's by Maren Moore. It's book one.
Oh, I've heard of her.
Yeah. Maren Moore. This is the first book in an Orleans University series. I guess that's the college that they go to. And, you know, this is what it is. It is a KU sports romance. I don't even remember the main characters' names. And listen, the spice was what we were there for. The story, was there one? Not really. The plot was not plotting, but the spice was spicing, and that is what is important.
I love this.
So I will say
you're speaking my language right now.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, it's short. So basically, this is a best friend's brother, but it's the main female character has a guy best friend, and it's her older brother that they get together. So it's kind of like a different thing. Usually it's like the guy's little sister, like it's like the best friend's little sister is like two guys like being like, how dare you, that's my sister. But this time it's like a girl, and the girl is very quirky and weird. She has a podcast about aliens, which was kind of fun because, like, I mean, you know, not the alien thing, but more like, okay, she has a podcast, that's cute. And, you know, does the plot matter? No, I'm not even going to read you the Goodreads synopsis. But listen, it was like, if you need a sports romance and you've already read all the ones that we have talked about.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I want something super quick that's like really steamy and hot and the sex is good, but like, I don't care about the plot. This is it. And it was cute. Again, I don't even remember the main characters' names. I'll forget I ever read it in like a month. But the spice was good. I was into the spice.
Okay.
And it's short, so like it's not going to take up that much of your time to read. There's like a good, like, he stands up for her against like some of these like his mean like friends that think like she's weird and whatever. And there's like a kind of an alpha cool moment there. And like there's a really cute ending that kind of reminds me of the movie Never Been Kissed. If you remember that 90s movie with Drew Barrymore, there's a very cute moment at the end. It's a baseball romance, which I feel like we don't read a ton of. Caught Up is also a baseball romance, actually. I feel like they're kind of becoming more popular, but
yeah, I haven't read a baseball romance. Baseball is like so not my sport.
I know.
I'm here for it.
I'll tell you that there's not much baseball. Let me just be honest with you. There's not much baseball. So you're in luck. I mean, it's more just like, I got to go to practice. Okay. I'll see you when you get home from practice. Oh, I have to travel for a game. So like,
I'm on board with that.
You know what I mean? It's like, call me when you're in the hotel room and like, you know, we'll FaceTime and stuff.
I love that.
And like some sexy things happen. So it's more just like, that's the sports element of it. Anyways, it's fine. Christina and I actually did a Patreon video where we talked more about it. And also her going to that Tessa Bailey author event. So if you want to hear us talk more about that, that is up on our Patreon. But like, it was good. It's fine. Mm-hmm. So then I dove into some thrillers. And the first one that I read is called None of This is True by Lisa Jewell. Lisa Jewell is like a very popular mystery thriller author. And this is her latest release. I finally read something like sort of when it came out, which is very exciting.
Go Kim.
Because it's hard to keep up with.
Yeah.
This is also about a podcast, actually. I feel like books about podcasts are becoming very popular. Because this is a book about a woman who has a podcast. It's her 45th birthday. She goes out to dinner and she meets her birthday twin. It is a woman who is also turning 45 on that same day, born in the same hospital and everything.
Whoa.
And this woman's like kind of weird. She's out to dinner with her much older husband, like much, much, much older. And this woman like approaches her in the bathroom and is like, hey, we're birthday twins. And this girl's like, oh, okay. Like happy birthday. Then she weirdly runs into this woman again. And this woman is like, hey, so I listened to your podcast and like, I think you should interview me. Like, I am on the precipice of like a big change in my life. And I feel like my story, because this woman interviews like women and like their journeys okay. and their stories.
Okay.
But they're like inspirational women who are like,
sure,
have done something like cool and like inspirational. And this woman's just like some random lady. And so at first, Alex is the podcaster, and she's like, I don't, but she doesn't really have anything else to like work on right now. So she's like, fine, sure. So she starts interviewing this lady for her podcast, and like, okay, I'm just going to read part of the Goodreads synopsis so okay. I don't spoil anything. Josie is the woman that Alex is recording this. She's kind of strange. She's, again, her husband is like elderly and she's like okay. 45. So it says, Josie's life appears to be strange and complicated. And although Alex finds her unsettling, she can't quite resist the temptation to keep making the podcast. Slowly, she starts to realize that Josie has been hiding some very dark secrets. And before she knows it, Josie has finagled her way into Alex's life and into her home. But as quickly as she arrived, Josie disappears. Only then does Alex discover that Josie has left a terrible and terrifying legacy in her wake, and that Alex has become the subject of her own true crime podcast, with her life and her family's lives under mortal threat. Who is Josie Fair and what has she done?
Ooh, okay.
So this is very much a psychological thriller, mm-hmm. very fast paced, very like unsettling. You don't know what's going on. You don't know who to trust. I really, it feels weird to say I liked it because these are kind of unsettling, like not depressing in that like anything, I mean, crazy happens. It's a
right,
thriller.
But I mean, I know what you're saying, but it's okay. It's fun. That's why you read it.
It
you
is
read
fun. It to, like, but it yeah, feels weird to be like, I loved this.
But for what it is, you really enjoyed
it. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. Some people have DM'd us saying like, they think Lisa Jewell is a little bit formulaic. And okay. I've only read a couple of her books. I don't think they are, but I can see she's written a lot of books. So I'm sure that some of the things in her books are a little like repetitive, but I thought it was good. I liked it.
You know, I feel like there's sometimes a formulaic style of writing for certain genres is okay. I don't know. Sometimes it's comforting.
Yeah.
Like, you know what to expect. Right. You know? Like, I love reading Scottish Highlander books by the same author because it is, every single book is going to be, is the same.
Right.
Just different characters and a slight twist. But I love it because it's comforting.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I felt like the books that I've read by her are pretty different, but I haven't read like a ton of her work to say, oh yeah, this is just like everything else she's ever written.
Right.
I thought it was really good. I thought the podcast element was interesting. They have like excerpts from the podcast, like transcripts and stuff from their interviews, like in the book.
Okay. Like to read, like instead of text messages, it's
instead
like
of text messages, it's like cool. transcripts from the podcast. Cool. So that's kind of a cool element I thought was really interesting. The ending was one of those where you're like, what did I just read? Who is telling the truth? Like, I don't know what to think.
Is it like you don't really, is it like left up a bit to the reader?
It's left up a bit to the reader, which I don't love that. I'm a very like, I like things tied off with a bow at the end.
Sure. Yeah.
But it does make for a more interesting
sure.
story to kind of walk away from it being like, well, now I don't know what to think. So I don't know.
I know. I go either way on those.
I know. Sometimes I like it. Sometimes I don't. So that was None of This is True by Lisa Jewell. And I have talked about, really quick before we bounce back to Anna, I have talked about a couple of her other books in on our Patreon. I did a video just me talking about a bunch of the books that I read over the summer while
yes,
we were taking our
it's
break.
It's really good, guys.
Yeah, I talked about like, oh my gosh, I don't even know, 10 or 12 books that I read while we were on our summer break from releasing main feed episodes. So if you want more thrillers after this episode and you've like read the ones that I talked about or whatever, go over to our Patreon because I've talked about a bunch more on there. Mm-hmm. I'm just really, really into them, you guys. I don't know what's going on with me.
It's funny. I mean, it's not funny. Like it's just great. I mean, I'm with you. I get hooked on a genre and I can't not read it.
I can't.
Everything
read it.
Else doesn't sound appealing to me.
I know. It's so crazy.
Okay. It's like I tried reading Wildfire and I was like, no, this is not doing it. I need to go back to my dark mafia reads.
Like, I know.
No.
We'll be like, you and I especially get into like a genre and we are like, it takes a lot to like, I mean, obviously Iron Flame is about to come out. So we will be reading
Iron Flame.
Like Iron Flame and like CC3 are things that we're like, yeah, we'll put down our thrillers and our mafias.
Totally.
Okay. But besides that, if it's just something that we're like, yeah, we want to read it, but really want to read, I don't know. We like what we
and
like.
That's okay.
It is totally okay. Okay. What's next, Anna?
I'm okay. I'm excited to talk about this one. Because I have so many feelings about it.
Oh, yay!
But okay. So I talked about Nero by S.J. Tilley in one of our episodes a while ago. I'm not going to talk about it again But if you are curious about it, I think it was from March, maybe early April, that we released that episode. It's Nero is book one in the Alliance series.
Right.
I don't know how many books there's going to be. I think at least four, maybe five. There's three out right now. So since that episode, two more have come out and I've read them.
Okay.
So Nero was book one. And book two is King. Mm-hmm. So it's technically, I don't know, it's Mafia, although it's not categorized as Mafia, and I don't understand why. They're called the Alliance, and they're the same thing as the Mafia.
Like, you're just calling it something different.
We're just calling it something different.
Okay, okay.
It is dark romance, but dark in the sense of, you know, they unalive people.
Okay.
Okay, there's not like, you know, this is not... Hunting Adeline, haunting Adeline. Yeah. This is not Zayd Meadows.
Thank God.
I just need to make that very clear.
Thank God.
Okay, so book two is King by S.J. Tilley.
Okay.
I'm just going to read the Goodreads synopsis. So the first sentence is great. You thought Nero was a red flag. I'm going to go out and say I still think Nero is a walking red flag. He's psychotic.
Okay.
If you listen to my other episode. You thought Nero was a red flag. Okay, so my bad for assuming the guy I was going on a date with wasn't married. And my bad for taking him to a friend's house for dinner. Only to find out that my friend is also friends with his wife. Confused? So am I. Unsurprisingly, my date's wife is super angry about finding out that her husband is a cheating asshole. Girl, I get it. Then to make matters more convoluted, there is the man sitting next to my date's wife, a man named King, who is apparently her brother and who lives up to his name.
Oh.
And since my date is a two-timing prick, I'm not going to feel bad about drooling all over King in front of him, especially since I'll never see him again. At least I don't plan to. Okay, so I'm going to stop bringing it there.
Okay.
What ends up happening is there's obviously, it's super awkward. This all happens in like the first chapter.
God, yeah.
It's hella awkward.
That's so awkward.
Yes. She leaves her car keys at her cheating boyfriend's apartment. So she tries to sneak back to go. She takes an Uber.
Okay.
It's back to his apartment. She like leaves the party immediately, takes an Uber, and she goes to go get car keys.
Okay.
And this is not a spoiler, guys. This all happens in the first three chapters.
Okay.
He gets unalived.
Uh-oh.
Like, and she witnesses it.
Okay.
And King is like the guy who's unaliving him because he cheated because it was his sister.
Oh, his sister, right.
And he's like, you don't fuck with my sister and my family. And that was his sister's husband.
Oh,
and
my God.
You've heard about him in Nero's book. You know he's a piece of shit husband.
Okay, got it.
And he's like trash.
Okay.
So when our leading lady is Savannah.
Okay.
So when Savannah goes to get her keys and she sees him being unalive, King is like, okay, well, I can't leave you here because you saw me kill some dude.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to have to come in my car and I'll figure out what to do with you later. I'm going to bring you back to my house. So basically he like kidnaps her, which... Listeners, listen, it's a mafia book. Like, if this is not your thing, don't read it.
Right.
But it's, like, King is not an asshole to her.
Uh-huh.
Like, he's in the mafia, okay?
Sure.
I mean, he's, you know, she's feisty. She's an artist. She's trying to, like, make it big.
Okay.
And he basically is like, you have to marry me because that's the only way I know that you won't rat me out or my family.
Okay.
And she's like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah, I'm dead serious. Like, we're getting married. So that's like it's like forced marriage of whatever you want to call it.
Why does she say yes? Just because she has no choice?
Because like she doesn't have a choice. Okay. Like, he's like locked her up in his house. But she's like
romance.
Married into him. I love it. It's romance. Listen, I'm like the girls and I who like DM in our like, you know, in our FOF Instagram, we're all like, this is hilarious. Like, we're just like, what are we reading?
You're like, yeah, I mean, of course.
This is not your Elsie Silver Chestnut Springs, okay?
Clearly not. We are far away from that.
We are. You think this is bad? Girl, I haven't even gotten to book three.
Oh my God. Okay.
So King and Savannah is book two. Like marriage of, I don't know what you call it. It's forced marriage.
It's forced marriage. Know. Yeah.
She's like a painter. Okay. And she's not like captive in the house. Like she is so turned on by this dude. Like she's very into him.
Okay.
And like, you know, she has friends. She's not held captive. She has her art studio.
Okay.
He builds her an entire art studio at his house.
Aww.
Like, you know, yes. Is he a possessive alpha hole, you know,
sure.
mafia dude? Of course. That's what I'm reading.
That's like, what the
feminism out the window.
Yeah.
Like, hello.
Yeah.
You know.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, like, I mean, my husband is the sweetest man alive. Like, he is. We read for, you know, it's fantasy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So that's King, book two. Okay. I don't know. It's exactly what I look for in like a mafia book. You know, it's a good time. It's a good time.
Yeah.
So book three is Dom by S.J. Tilley. Dom makes a little cameo in book two because something happens. I'm not going to say what because that's a spoiler. Something happens in book two with Savannah, and Dom works, is like the head of the Chicago, shoot, I'm drawing a blank if it's, I think it's, I don't think it's this Italian mafia. I think it's like a Spanish mafia in Chicago.
Oh.
Yeah. So Dom is the head of that mafia, and he's not a part of the alliance.
Oh.
But he wants, like, you know, he wants like a connection with them. Like, you know, let's merge our families.
Got
basically.
It. Got it. Got it. Got it.
I'm going to read the quick Goodreads on this.
Okay.
Val or Valentina.
Okay.
So Val is King's half sister.
Okay.
Remember, he had a sister. It's not the sister who had the asshole husband.
Okay. It's another
That's
one.
His full blooded sister, and I can't remember her name. But Val is the half-sister.
Okay.
And she's kind of, it's really sad. Like, she's never felt a part of the family, really, because she was, like, she's the product of an affair.
Oh,
I'll just read the synopsis. So, Val, when I was 9, I went to my first funeral. Along with accepting my father's death, I had to accept new and awful truths I wasn't prepared for. When I was 19, I went to my mother's funeral. We weren't close, but with her gone, I became more alone than ever before. Sure, I have a half-brother who runs the Alliance, and yeah, he's given me his protection in the form of a bodyguard and a chauffeur, but I don't have anyone that really knows me, no one to really love me, until I meet him. The man in the airport. And when one chance meeting turns into something hotter, something more serious, I let myself believe that maybe he's the one. Maybe this man is the one who will finally save me from my loneliness. The one to give me the family I've always craved. Then Dom's POV.
Okay.
The mafia is in my blood. It's what I do. So when that blood is spilled and one funeral turns into three, drastic measures need to be taken. And when this battle turns into a war, I'm going to need more men, more power. I'm going to need the Alliance.
Oh.
Remember, he's not a part of the Alliance.
Right.
And there's a war happening in Chicago between mafia families, and he needs, like, more men.
Back up. Sure.
Yeah. So Val is, like, not in a good place.
Okay.
Like, she's not in a bad place, but she's a little lost. She's lonely. She craves family. She craves a connection that she doesn't really have with King or his sister.
Sure.
And she's, like she said, she's protected by them, but it doesn't...
They're not, like, family,
feed
really.
Her.
Right.
They're not family to her. And she meets Dom at an airport, like a meet cute type situation, and they have this, like, torrid, quick kind of love affair.
Yes.
And then they meet up again in Vegas.
Ooh.
And there's like a Vegas wedding happens, basically.
Oh.
So this is where, listeners, I need to preface that basically every time you think Dom has a red flag, he says, hold my beer.
Uh-oh.
Like, the man keeps topping himself. And I don't know why I kept reading, because some of it is like so fucked.
Uh-oh.
I was talking about this book. There was hi, Cheryl, if you're listening.
Hi, Cheryl.
Cheryl and I were reading this book together because we were very excited for it when it came out because we loved Nero and King. And yes, they're mafia. There's a certain level of like crazy, possessive, weird, you know, cross the line shit that they do.
Yeah.
That you just like shrug your shoulders and you go, it's mafia.
It's mafia.
It's a different world. It's like, whatever. Dom does some, I'm not going to say what they are, but even there's one thing in particular that really, really bothered me. Uh-huh. And the only reason I kept reading it was because it happened so early on in the book that like, I was like, I wanted to see how he was going to redeem himself or how he was going to. And amazingly, I mean, I'm sure people are going to be like, Anna, you're so fucking fucked up. But like, it's a book. It's not real life. So. Like, I don't care.
They're going to be like, Anna, seek therapy. But go on.
Seek therapy. But it's like, it's I don't know. Like, whatever. It's a mafia book. I know what I'm getting myself into. I signed up for it when I opened the book.
Yeah.
But even this one, though, there's one thing in it that, like, I really don't think we needed. And I really think she could have had the same result, but done it differently.
Okay.
And I don't know why she made that choice, because it's something you really can't come back from, in my opinion.
Oh,
but I kept reading, and Cheryl and I both decided that we were going to ignore this aspect.
Okay.
And, like, it didn't happen.
Okay.
And that was the only way I was able to keep reading. So I need to make that very clear.
Got it.
I was not okay with it.
Okay.
The twist, that's not even the twist. That happens early in the book. The twist happens a few chapters later, and the twist is very good. I was even like, what? Oh, dumb. How, like, that could, this was a good twist. This was a good twist. Okay, and I was like, okay. Oh, shoot, this is why, this is what I'm here for.
Okay, got it.
That was, like, a good character plot twist that I loved.
Okay.
It's just the first thing that was, like, very icky and uncomfy I didn't like.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say. But then, like, he does other things.
Like, oh my god.
I don't know if I, okay, listeners, if you don't want to hear this, just fast forward like a minute or two.
Oh my
but
god.
Like, well, whatever. Just, I'm just gonna say it. I'm just gonna say it. Fast forward if you want to. So he like asks her how many people they're married. This is like a little bit into the book.
Okay.
And he's like, how many people have you been with? And she's like, four. And he's like, okay, cool. He sedates her.
No.
Oh, she has an engagement ring on and she's really mad at him and she throws like this $3 million ring out the side on the highway. It's gone forever. And he's like, if I buy you another ring, will you wear it? And she goes, I'll just throw it out the window. And he's like, cool. So then she wakes up the next day with his name tattooed on her finger.
Oh my God, Anna.
It says Dom 4 times because that's how many people she's been with.
Oh my God.
And then it says like, till death do us part. And she's like, what the fuck? And he's like, you said you would keep throwing them. I didn't want to keep wasting money on jewelry. And she's like, when did you take me somewhere? And he's like, oh no, I did it myself, but I didn't want you to be in pain. So I just, when you took your sleeping pills, I did it.
So he sedates her.
Yes. So, and listen, if you think that's fucked up, the thing I talked about earlier is worse.
Okay, well,
that made me laugh because I was like, of course, you're psychotic.
Yeah.
Like, you're psycho.
Yeah, you need help. I really want to know what the other thing was. If that is like a hilarious giggle moment.
That's
like
a hilarious giggle moment, okay? Because listen, I think that you, after the first thing, you're just like, well, fuck, I'm just here for the ride, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when I texted Cheryl and I was like, Dom really said, hold my beer. Like, we're leaning into it hard.
Yeah.
But anyways. So, guys, it was not my favorite read because he had like too many red flags that were hard for me to overcome.
Sure.
But I read it.
But it was a book that I read.
Okay. And honestly, it wasn't as good as Nero and King.
Okay.
And I think because Dom crossed way too many lines.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just wasn't my favorite. But yeah.
Okay.
So those are my...
That was it.
I think those are my dark and twist. That's as dark and twisty as my mafia reads will get. The next one I'll talk about after Kim goes is not as bad.
Okay. Wow. Well, offline, you're going to tell me what the thing was because now I'm not going to be able to stop thinking about it. And I need to know what happened that was bad enough for you to be like, oh, shit.
And listeners, if you want to know too, because you want to be like, I don't think there was a content warning for this.
Oh, God.
Please message me.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you.
Okay. So my next book is called The Broken Girls by Simone St. James. And in my Patreon video that I did, I talked about two books by Simone St. James that I have read, and I didn't love them. That was The Haunting of Mattie Clare and Silence of the Dead or Silence for the Dead, something like that. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Didn't love them. They're like airport books. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, you have some reason lost your Kindle, didn't bring a book, which would never happen to us, and like you're in the airport and you're like, yeah, I'll buy it. You read it on the airplane, you leave it on the airplane, you're like, I don't even care. This one is one, guys, this came out forever ago. I'm sorry. I'm still trying to work my way through like a backlist of just books. This came out in 2018, but it's like a haunted asylum that like housed broken girls. So I'm gonna read the synopsis. So this takes place in Vermont. Well, there's two timelines. Vermont, but it's all in Vermont. The first place is Vermont in 1950. There's a place for the girls whom no one wants. The troublemakers, the illegitimate, the too smart for their own good. It's called Idlewild Hall. And in the small town where it's located, there are rumors that the boarding school is haunted. Mm. Four roommates bond over their whispered fears, their budding friendship blossoming until one of them mysteriously disappears.
Okay.
Next timeline is fast forward to 2014. As much as she's tried, journalist Fiona Sheridan cannot stop revisiting the events surrounding her older sister's death. 20 years ago, her body was found lying in the overgrown fields near the ruins of Idlewild Hall. And though her sister's boyfriend was tried and convicted of murder, Fiona can't shake the suspicion that something was never right about the case. When Fiona discovers that Idlewild Hall is being restored, she decides to write a story about it. But a shocking discovery during the renovations will link the loss of her sister to secrets that were meant to stay hidden in the past and a voice that won't be silenced. So I am a sucker for like a boarding school.
Yeah.
Something remote that's like creepy things are happening. I will tell you that Simone St. James, every single book of hers has a paranormal aspect to it. So if you don't like ghosts, if you don't like spirits, if you don't like all of that type of stuff, her books are not for you. I mean, I can't say every single one, but I've read three and every single one has had ghosts in it. But it's also, a lot of them are like historical fiction. So it's like, I really like that aspect of it because I find that very interesting.
Yeah.
The whole mystery thriller
set. The premise sounds very interesting.
Very interesting. I don't love the ghost aspect, but like, it's fine. I move past it. It's just not my favorite thing ever to add in. I think, like, I wish if she didn't have that in the 1950s at a boarding school, whatever. I really like, this was my favorite of the three Simone St. James that I have read so far. I really liked it. I thought it was super interesting. It moved super fast. I read the physical book because I'm a pioneer woman again, and I flew through it. I mean, it's like so nice, y'all, to read a non-fantasy book that's so short, and I'm just like, oh my God, it's like a little bebe novella. Like, it's so...
How many pages is it?
Oh my gosh, it's like... why does it not want to tell me how many pages? It's like 300 something pages, like 350, maybe 400 pages. It's just, which to me just feels, after reading books like, you know, just like 600, 700 page books, like that feels like nothing to me.
Yeah.
And it just goes so fast because it's a thriller. It's like, and you're not trying to think about world building. There's no like character development. There's no like, it's not like Fourth Wing where I'm trying to be like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah. It's refreshing.
I really liked it. I thought it was really good. I thought it was my favorite of hers that I have read. I liked the boarding school aspect. I thought it was really interesting. And I know that places like that actually existed back then. Like, I absolutely that they sent women there. They sent girls there. There were girls who, like, were the product of an affair. And, like, a senator had an affair. And so he had the daughter, like, sent away and, like, paid the mother off and was like, you can't be seen in society. So it's like, some of them are just, like, regular girls who just, through no fault of their own, a lot of them are, like, hysterical, which just means they have emotions.
Yeah. They have emotions.
You know, like some of them have like learning disability, like ADHD. That's not what it's called, but they're just like little things like that that are not a big deal.
Sure.
You know, I mean, you've read a ton of historical fiction. Like, that's why I liked it, because I know that these places actually existed and I can picture a place like this very much existing. And like the staff that works there is miserable and like nobody wants to be there. And these poor girls are just like stuck in this place and they have nobody that like comes and visits them. And it's just like kind of a very sad, but like very interesting concept to me. So I really liked it. Very spooky. There is a ghost. Do you remember, Anna, as a kid, I don't know if you ever did this.
What?
You would look in the mirror and say, like, red rum three times.
Yeah, like Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary. Yes. Okay.
Oh, my God.
It's not Bloody Mary, but there is a ghost. There's a ghost, a woman, who haunts the grounds. And they say, like, she's haunted these grounds for years. And, like, people see her.
Yeah.
So there's, like, that whole aspect to it as well. So I don't know. I really liked it. I think it's perfect for the fall. Very spooky vibes. Very into it. That is The Broken Girls by Simone St. James. Next book I read that I want to talk about, I'm not really going to talk about it. It's Wildfire by Hannah Grace.
Please don't talk about it. I'm very curious to hear your thoughts because...
So Wildfire, you guys, is obviously the sequel to Icebreakers. It's the second book in the Maple Hill series by Hannah Grace. We all read Icebreakers, really liked it, despite feeling like it was a little bit long. But overall, I would say we really enjoyed
it. That was like our biggest complaint. It was like 120 pages too long.
Easily, if you had cut that, I mean, 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
So we were so excited for Wildfire. It was one of our like most anticipated like non-fantasy releases of the year. We were super excited. Number one issue, and I don't... Somebody did her dirty on this. I don't know if it was her publishing company, her agent, why they published this book in the fall when it is literally set at
a
summer camp.
It's such a summer read.
It's set at a summer camp the entire time. The entire time.
Yeah.
Why would you publish this book in the fall? It is a perfect summer read. Like, they're swimming in the lake. Like, they're getting a sunburn. They're putting on sunscreen. Like, it's a very, very summery. Number one, doesn't make sense to me. Now, if you're not a mood reader, that might not bother you, but it just felt weird. Like, I don't love that. Number one issue.
Kim's number one issue.
I mean, it wasn't her. I mean, I don't think the author probably didn't have a say in it. I don't know why she would pick that. I'm sure it was something like the publishing house was like, no, this fits our schedule. But, and Christina read it too, and we both feel the same way. And I hate to talk about it because Anna hasn't finished it, because I never want to like color someone else's experience of it. You know what I mean?
I will say, like, I'm not a mood reader.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, I get hooked on a genre, but I'm not a mood reader.
Right.
I, at least I wouldn't classify myself as that.
No, I don't think you are.
And so Wildfire, like being set in the summer, that I DNF'd it. I plan on going back to finish it, but I just don't know if it was my mindset, if it was a combination of my mindset and the setup of the book. Personally, from what I read, I got about 25. I didn't get like, it's not like I got 10% in. I got like 25% in or something.
Okay.
And I think for me, what was not grabbing me at the moment was some of the dialogue, and the way it was written felt kind of, I don't know, like amateurish, like the way that they would talk to each other.
Yeah.
But then the next paragraph, I'd be like, oh, no, I like this. I like this is fun. Okay.
Yeah.
It would just kind of like, it kind of like would keep swinging and missing, I guess, maybe. Right.
Totally. I agree. Christina and I both said this. We talked about it in our group text when you were talking about it. Christina, she finished it and she was like, there's just something about it that I didn't love and I can't put my finger on it and I can't verbalize it. And I feel the exact same way. Like, there's just something that didn't work, but I can't tell you what that is. Like, there's nothing that stood out. Nothing like
can't put a name on
happened.
It.
Yeah. Nothing I could complain about, but it just didn't work like Icebreakers did. There wasn't an Uber scene. Like, the sex scenes felt very, I mean, I guess it depends on what kind of spice you read, but like for us, they would be like, absolutely nothing. Like, very vanilla.
Interesting.
Just,
okay.
Like, they were fine. Like, they were the sex was fine, but it just was nothing special. It was a scene we've read 1,000 times. Like, they don't do anything special. They don't do anything that's especially, like, crazy. Like, it's very bland, like, basic stuff. And then I just felt like, I don't know, something happened. It just didn't work. Like, it just, I liked it. I will say, I gave it, like, 3.75 stars on Goodreads.
Yeah.
I liked it. I didn't love it.
Okay.
I don't know who the next book is going to be about. Oh, I think it's going to be about Henry, which we were all super excited for.
I want Henry's book.
But a lot of people have said that she changes Henry, and we don't really get any Henry at all, I'm going to tell you. And when we do, he's like hooking up with random girls and then like being like, oh, she was just leaving.
Is there more than that first scene?
No.
Than Henry? Because, I mean, he hooked up with one girl in that first.
No. Oh, they come home again and he's hooking up with somebody else. And then, like, that's all she does with him. And I'm like, what? Huh. What?
I don't know.
And he doesn't talk, like, he's not conversing like the Henry from Icebreakers. Like,
he seemed a little more blunt. Like,
yeah.
Blunt. Almost a little more, what's the word I'm looking for? In the beginning of the book, at least, he seemed kind of short, like tempered. Like, he was kind of a little more curt.
Like,
that's the word.
Yeah, he was like annoyed almost. And, like, yeah.
He was always annoyed. And the Henry, I feel like in book one was just kind of, I mean, he obviously has, I think he's neurodivergent or.
Totally.
There was always a little bit of a disconnect, but like he still went in book one in Icebreakers. To me, there was like a kindness.
Yes.
To him.
And maybe like a sincerity and like a very genuine. And it just felt weird to me if he is the next book that he wasn't in it more. And then what he was doing in it just felt very like, what?
Yeah, I don't like that we took everybody away that we already fell in love with and moved them to a summer camp. Maybe that's what bugged me. Is like, I loved the dynamic between all the guys in the house.
Same. And like they tried to like, there is funny, like Russ's roommate is really funny, and
oh yeah, Xavier or something.
Yeah, whatever his name is, Jeremiah or something like that. Yeah. He was funny, and then like there are like a cast of characters, but we don't know them, and so we don't really care about them. And so I agree. I think like taking them away from everybody that we had just met, like I feel like this book should have been like book like 4 or 5 in the series, where it was like we've had all these other characters and we've spent so much time with the whole cast that we've kind of felt okay moving away. Like we kind of felt we've gotten a lot of Nate and Stassi and everybody, but this was the second book in a series. I'm like, you gave us one book with all of them and then you're like, oh, bye-bye.
Yeah, you're ripping it away from us.
I don't know. I thought it was, you know, I was a little disappointed. All that to say, your feelings are very valid.
Okay.
And we were a little bit just kind of let down only because of how much we enjoyed Icebreakers and how it did feel like just a really good sports romance that we all like really enjoyed reading. So yeah, kind of a bummer, but.
You know, I'm not going to go into Hopeless by Elsie Silver right now, but I'm going to just quickly say because that also came out like the same time as Wildfire.
That's right.
And I did read Hopeless.
Uh-huh.
This is, that would be, cut. It's book 5 in the Chestnut Springs series, Bo and Bailey's story. And when I read it and I finished, I was like, oh my God, I really loved it. Uh-huh. And it's almost like a week later, looking back, it's not, I still love it and I still really enjoyed the story.
Okay.
But it didn't hit the same way for me that like Cade's book did, Jasper or Theo's book.
Right.
Because it was very different. Okay. And there was a bit more loneliness he felt more isolated.
Yeah.
Theo, I feel like all the brothers were still involved. Cade, maybe I read Cade's book so long ago that maybe Cade's book felt kind of isolated, but it was also my first book in the series, so I was getting to know
everyone.
But
he has like a kid, so the kid was there.
Well, no, he's with his grandpa a lot.
He's with his grandpa a lot.
Yeah, no, the grandpa's there a lot in the story. Mm-hmm. And then Jasper, the grandfather's a big part of the story.
Yes.
Or the dad, sorry, not the grandfather. The dad is a big part of the story. And for Theo's book, the characters are all involved because there's a baby and everything.
Yeah.
And for Bo and Bailey's, looking back on it a week later, it did feel a bit more isolated.
Okay.
Their characters, because Bo isolates himself because of his like trauma and stuff from being in the war and everything that happens to him.
Right.
But I really enjoyed their banter, Bailey and Bo. And I thought Bailey was very funny and like sassy and always like shocked Bo with her language and like thoughts. And Bo was so reserved.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of funny to see her like make him like spit out his drink and like bring him out of his shell a bit.
Yeah.
And I'm a sucker for fake dating. Like sucker for it.
Love it. We love it.
And so I don't know. I did overall really enjoy it. There was just, it didn't hit the same way that the other ones that I've read in the series did. I guess.
Yeah.
But I still really enjoyed it because like I did get like the little glimpses of with all the text messages and like that she's famous for with her characters and the family group chat is funny.
So
and
funny.
The dad is funny. What we get of him.
He's so funny.
Yeah. And I mean, so I didn't dislike it. It just wasn't like my favorite of the series. And that's okay.
Totally.
But it was still
okay.
Like I still recommend reading it because if you liked the other books, you're going to like it. It just might not. And other people might say it's their favorite, and that's fine.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. No, I started it, and then I for some reason, the Chestnut Springs series feels very summer to me. I don't know what it is. Maybe I read a lot of romance in the summer. I mean, we read romance year round, but like.
But like, I get what you're saying. Like
they're at a ranch, like it just feels summery to me, or like warm weather. And so I was reading it, and then I just like kept feeling this pull of like wanting to read thrillers, and I would like get something in from the library, and you know how that goes. You have like 21 days.
Sure.
And so I just like set it aside, not because I wasn't enjoying it. I absolutely was. I just kind of felt like I'm not in the right headspace and I don't want to read it in that headspace and then like not enjoy it.
Yeah. That's why I put Wildfire down. It was similar. I couldn't tell if it was the book or if it was me and my mindset.
Right.
And what I was doing that like weekend. So I was like, I'm not going to read it. I don't want to like taint it with my like mindset right now.
Totally.
So I get that. Totally.
Yeah. Okay. What's next for Anna?
Okay. So I've got 2 more quickly and then I'm done.
Perfect.
I am going to I've got 2 more. We'll end with my Scottish Highlander.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so the first one I'm going to talk about is Scandalous Games by Simran.
Oh.
Simran.
Okay. Scandalous Games.
This is not a dark romance. It's contemporary romance. I've never read anything else by the author. I am going to go ahead and preface this. So the author is, I believe she's Indian. The characters are Indian, and it doesn't explicitly say where it takes place, but I am going to wager, I guess, that it takes place in like a big city in India. That was, I don't know if it's just purposely ambiguous. To like, I don't know, maybe to leave it up to the reader to kind of like picture their own city. But that was the vibe I was getting just because of the characters are all Indian, and that's a big part of the I wouldn't say it's like a huge part. I actually kind of wish it was a little bit more of a cultural dynamic, but it adds like an added kind of element to the story because there are expectations based on their cultural upbringings,
which
was interesting. And I kind of wish there had been a little bit more.
Sure, sure, sure.
But
that's interesting.
The author, I have not read anything else by her. This just popped up because I saw a reel on Instagram.
Oh, love when that happens.
I feel like, and if I am wrong, listeners, I tried to look this up. I could not find her website. I don't know if this is a pseudonym she writes under.
Okay.
It's KU. There is some weird, almost like language, right, because there were certain like idioms and phrases that were used, uh-huh, where it was like one word was switched out for another word. Oh. So I just feel like it needed a better editor. It's on KU. Sure. Like I said, this is her first contemporary, yeah, romance. I think she's written another genre and I don't know what that is. I've never read it.
Okay.
So I just want to like preface that.
Got it.
Okay. So here's the Goodreads summary. Bianca, a fairy tale wedding is every girl's dream, isn't it? Well, not mine. 7 years ago, I locked my dead heart in a cage after it was shattered into pieces. It wasn't a problem until now. Being the eldest daughter, tradition dictates I must marry first, but at 25, a happily ever after is the last thing I'm chasing. So when my little sister drops the bomb she wants to marry, suddenly I have to choose between her future and my freedom, until fate collides me with Dash Stern, the man I lost my virginity to when I was 18 and heartbroken, my ex's older stepbrother, and my soon-to-be fake husband, Dash. A marriage is a nightmare for a man like me. Make it a fake one, and that's just inviting disaster with open arms. Even if it's to an irresistible woman I secretly desired, Bianca Chopra. Gorgeous, forbidden, my past obsession. When she propositions me for a sham marriage, I say no with a warning to stay away. Like a vixen, she raises the stakes, reawakening the forbidden feelings, and I find myself throwing caution to the wind. She thinks she'll walk away unscathed, and doesn't realize she made a deal with a monster, with a secret that could wreck her entire world.
Oh!
So this is, it's not a dark romance, it's not mafia, it's just a contemporary, like, I don't know, billionaire romance.
Got it.
She has to get married, or she decides that she's gonna, like, do a fake marriage so her younger sister can get married. Her family already thinks that she's, like, a failure at everything she does, and whatever.
Yeah.
But she grew up, like, with a silver spoon in her mouth. She's very, like, wealthy, and she's trying to start her own interior design business, but her family doesn't think that that's, like, up to her family standards. They think it's, like, a silly job. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. She has two best friends, and I love, like, a good girlfriend friendship dynamic. Yeah. I love when there's, like, a solid sisterhood.
Yeah.
And they are. They are that. Like, they are there for each other. Like, she calls, and they are there in a heartbeat.
Yeah, yeah. I love
Iris
that.
And Rosalie, and I think they're getting their own stories coming up.
Oh, fun.
Dash is her college sweetheart, who she was absolutely in love with, wanted to marry, and not a spoiler, but he cheated on her.
Okay.
And then she caught him cheating on her. And kind of like in her moment of like heartbreak and anger, she went to his stepbrother and was like, because she's a virgin, and she kept trying to, like, I don't know, lose her virginity to her, you know, boyfriend who she was in love with, and it just, I don't know why it wasn't working out, but it just wasn't happening. But he has no problem
cheating on her.
So she goes and she like goes to her, she's always kind of like, I wouldn't say she didn't have a crush on his brother, but there was like a situation that happens. I'm not going to spoil it. He clearly is obsessed with her. Like, he is in love with her and he, you know, wants her, but it's his brother's girlfriend.
Sure.
So when she shows up, and he hates his brother, and that's a very complicated history. I'm not going to get into it.
Okay.
So when she shows up at his door and she's like crying, they have sex.
Okay.
And then she walks out. She, like, he goes to the bathroom afterwards, and she leaves. And she doesn't see him again for 7 years. Until...
7 years?
Yes, until this situation. She lives in a new... So that was, like, her college city. She left, she goes back to her hometown, and she starts, like, working and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
So 7 years, fast forward 7 years later, and that's where our story picks up. And she approaches him, and there's, like, a whole setup. It's kind of a little bit fast and furious, but it is what it is.
Okay.
And I don't know. I don't know why. I read this book in, like, 2 nights, and rarely do I think, like, a 500-page book. I always feel like they're too long in a lot of these books, like a lot of these, like, romance genres.
Right.
I honestly felt like it was the perfect length for the story. I didn't feel like it was too long, and that's really rare for me to say.
Yeah.
The only thing I would have changed was the pacing of some of the situations that happened, like the third act drama.
Okay.
I wish it had happened earlier in the third act, so we could have spent more time with the groveling and the, like, is it like I talked about earlier in, like, my mafia reads? No.
No.
It is something we can get past.
Sure.
But it is really not cool.
Okay.
Because once you do get the kind of, like, reconciliation, or the, like, them talking, finding out everything, mm-hmm. it almost felt like you were robbed. Like you needed like 40 more pages mm-hmm. of them coming back together.
Sure.
Because it felt rushed.
Got it.
But the book itself wasn't too long. It was just kind of mispaced.
Got it. That makes sense. Yeah.
That's kind of my biggest hang up with the book.
Okay.
And listen, no one is more upset about the twist or like the third act drama than I was, because I love Dash. I thought Dash was like,
yeah,
he's got a huge wall up. He's very, all of that shit that like, I don't want in real life.
Yeah.
But I loved it with him.
Loved reading it.
And she also is not a doormat. She pushes him. She's not like submissive.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's a little play in the bedroom. But like
in
real life, she pushes back and she's not a doormat and she stands her ground.
Okay.
And so I respect her and I love him.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Totally.
It was like a really, I thought, a good dynamic. I would have, mm-hmm. I don't know. I couldn't put the book down. I really enjoyed it. Like I said, I was disappointing. I wish there had been a better editor.
Uh-huh.
I wish some of the pacing had changed, especially I would have really, really loved a little bit more of him groveling at the end.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I love that.
This is so different for you too. Like you don't really read very many contemporary romances.
I don't. And there's the kind of that, I think the reason I probably liked it is because when I read my like mafia books, I love the like alpha hole trope. Like I don't, that's not really a trope, but I don't know. I like it because I don't want that in my real life.
Because exactly. Exactly.
and he has that, but it's not mafia. There's this, oh gosh, I forgot to mention the steam. Is so good.
Really?
So this author, she has a way with like the sexual tension buildup.
Mm.
It is so good. Like that was half of the fun for me, was reading, because they hate each other, but like they love each other and they're both trying so hard not to love each other, but there's a fake marriage involved.
Got it.
And it was just so good. And here's the thing. So like I said, the writing was like, kind of weird to me.
Uh-huh.
But I just want to read to you, like, this is what's weird, is her writing was kind of off,
mm-hmm.
but then she would write these beautiful phrase, like, sentences mm-hmm. or paragraphs.
Mm-hmm.
This is, like, not a spoiler, but he whirls around to face me with a ferocious heat in his eyes, and I almost stumble back from the power of it, the green pupils reminding me of a dark, rainy forest seconds away from swallowing you whole. Instead of running, I ache to be swept into them. And then, like, the next page, Dash is talking. He says, "What I feel for you isn't something as fickle or simple as jealousy, kitten. It runs far deeper than that in my veins." His gaze turns molten while I burn in those flames. "You, my wife, are an obsession I can't tame, an addiction I can't quit, a dream I can't help but chase."
Aww.
And I'm like, she has all these like weird writing phrases that I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
But then she writes these like really beautiful love professions and I'm like, and I don't know, I just loved it.
And I love that for you. That is so fun.
Yeah. So Scandalous Games by Simran. Book two is, I don't know what book two is, but there is a book two coming out. It's going to be her best friend and her arranged marriage husband that they hate each other. So I'm very excited about that one.
Awesome.
Well, the whole series revolves around arranged marriages.
Got it.
The cultural dynamic.
Sure.
I think.
That's super interesting.
Okay, so the last one I'm going to talk about really, really quickly is a Scottish Highlander book called Never Seduce a Scot by Maya Banks.
Okay.
If you read Scottish Highlander books, you know probably Mary Wine and Maya Banks are like two of the bigger Scottish Highlander writers out there. We talked about formulaic. These are formulaic, and I love them, and I'm here for it, and that's why I read them. Okay, so Evelyn Armstrong is fiercely loved and protected by her powerful clan, but outsiders consider her, quote, touched. Beautiful with a level, intent gaze, she doesn't speak. No one, not even her family, knows that she cannot hear. Content with her life of seclusion, Evelyn has taught herself to read lips and allows the outside world to view her as daft. But when an arranged marriage into a rival clan makes Graham Montgomery her husband, Evelyn accepts her duty, unprepared for the delights to come. Graham is a rugged warrior with a voice so deep and powerful that his new bride can hear it, and hands and kisses so tender and skilled that he stirs her deepest passion.
Oh!
So I'm only, the reason I'm talking about this one is it felt very different to me than a lot of the other Scottish Highlander books I read, because it was, you know, usually there's like a kidnapped bride or I don't know, like rival clans, and there are rival clans in this one.
Yeah.
But the fact that like Evelyn couldn't hear, she's deaf. So she wasn't born deaf. She had an accident and she got very, very sick. And in when she finally recovered from her illness, she'd been like, very sick for like 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
She couldn't hear.
Oh.
I can't remember her reasoning, but she talks about, she rationalizes why she couldn't tell her family. Oh, they were bearing her off to someone who was horrible.
Oh.
And she realized that when she woke up and couldn't hear and everybody thought that she lost her marbles, that they weren't going to marry her off anymore and she got to stay with her family.
Okay.
So she pretends to kind of be, not, she doesn't pretend to be stupid. She doesn't pretend to actually be like, quote, daft, as they say.
Yeah.
She can't hear, but she reads lips.
Okay.
So she misses a lot of sentences. A lot of times she's sitting at the table, but she can't hear anything. And if she can't look directly at you, then she doesn't know what's going on.
Right.
So everybody thinks that she's like, quote, touched, as they say.
Okay.
Back then. But in reality, she's really smart. She's such a loving, like, caring person.
Uh-huh.
And she gets betrothed now to this other guy to like help mend these rifts in the clans or whatever.
Right.
And when she first sees him, she hears his voice because it's so deep. She can't actually like hear what he's saying, but it's like the timbre of his voice is so deep. And it's really sweet. She like runs up to him and she's like in his face. And she like, I think she touches his chest because she can like, it's like one of the first times she can like hear of a person's voice.
Wow.
Everyone's like, oh my God, like, you know, what's wrong with her?
Yeah.
And she just looks at him and he immediately has like a connection with her.
Uh-huh.
And he feels, Graham is like, I don't know, Graham was so sweet with her.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a rugged warrior, but he feels that like, you know, he's taking advantage of her and he doesn't want, like he doesn't want to consummate the marriage because in his mind, he thinks that she's actually like, quote, touched. And he feels like that's wrong for him to like consummate a marriage. She can't like consent, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And so he like doesn't. And I can't remember the exact turn of like how it comes about, but she eventually like tells him she can't write. She can't even write like what she wants to say. Oh. She can talk, but she hasn't talked in since her accident.
Oh.
She's afraid to talk because she can't hear, and so she does. She's embarrassed that if she starts talking, that like she won't know if she's yelling or being soft or if she's mumbling, and she's like so self conscious. So she hasn't spoken in like 3 or 4 years.
Wow.
And so when she finally speaks, it's because something big happens.
Uh-huh.
There's like an emergency and Graham gets hurt, I think. And so she like screams for the first time.
Yeah.
And that's when he realizes that she can speak. And so they have this like talk and she reads his lips and she talks to him. And there's this just wonderful dynamic of like her. It was just so different. And I rarely feel like actually moved or like touched by one of these like Scottish Highlander books. I read it for like fun and it's like fast paced.
Yeah.
But it was just really, I don't know, it's like a beautiful little love affair. And that turned into like this wonderful marriage.
Yeah.
And
so sweet.
Like compassion and like true, like actual love and care between two people.
Yeah.
I loved it.
That's so sweet.
It's called Never Seduce a Scot by Maya Banks. So if you like historical romances, it's not a Regency, but it's, I don't know. I just loved it.
That's
I
so couldn't, sweet.
So sweet is like literally what it was. It
I
was
love just that.
Really sweet.
And I feel like that is very different from like, you don't read books like that very often, especially in the romance genre.
Is steam too. Like they all the Maya Banks books have steam and stuff.
Okay.
So there is that. It's not like as steamy as the other ones I talked about
earlier
in the episode, but it has like, it promises the type of like Highlander Maya Banks theme that I love.
Well, there you go. So, awesome.
There you go. It has everything.
It has everything you need. It has heart and steam, people.
Heart and steam.
Okay.
That's it for me.
Awesome. I have two more super quick. I'm going to end with Caught Up because that was my favorite. Before that, I'm going to talk about a thriller mystery. It is called Wrong Place, Wrong Time by, I never know if it's Jillian or Gillian, but it's with a G. It's like a mystery thriller. It's a mystery thriller. Okay. that's what it is. So I'm just going to read the synopsis quickly because it's hard for these. I don't know. I don't want to say too much. So, okay. This is the synopsis. Can you stop a murder after it's already happened? It is midnight on the morning of Halloween and Jen anxiously waits up for her 18-year-old son Todd to return home. But worries about his broken curfew transform into something much more dangerous when Todd finally emerges from the darkness. As Jen watches through the window, she sees her funny, seemingly happy teenage son stab a total stranger. She doesn't know who the victim is or why Todd has committed such a devastating act of violence. All she knows is that her life and Todd's have been shattered. After her son is taken into custody, Jen falls asleep. But when she wakes up, it is yesterday. The murder has not happened yet, and there may be a chance to stop it. Each morning when Jen wakes up, she is further back in the past, first weeks, then years before the murder.
Wow.
And Jen realizes that somewhere in the past lies the trigger for Todd's terrible crime, and it is her mission to find it and prevent it from taking place. So this was really interesting because I've never had like a time travel element in a mystery thriller before.
So wait, she's trying to stop Todd from murdering someone?
So she's going back in time. She can't figure it out. She doesn't understand what's going on. She's like, the first day she wakes up and she's like, where is Todd in jail? And her husband's like, no, he's at school. And she's like, he's in jail.
Todd is her son.
Like she wakes up.
Oh, sorry, I missed that. Okay,
she wakes up and she's like, oh, we need to get back to the jail. And her husband's like, what are you talking about? She's like, Todd's in jail. He stabbed somebody. And she was like, her husband's like, no, that didn't happen.
Interesting.
She's like going crazy. And then she wakes up the next day and she's further back in time. So she just keeps going back in time. And eventually she realizes that she is going back in time because something happened that like triggered this chain of events. And it is up to her to figure out what that was and like stop the crime from happening in the future.
Wow. Okay.
And so, I mean, she goes back like, each chapter is like day minus 30, day minus 60, day minus 175 to like years before she even meets her husband.
What?
But it's, there was such this unexpected heart as a mother.
Aww.
And there were these moments, like she goes back in time and her son's like 3. It was just like, and there was all these quotes about motherhood because of course she feels guilty. She's like, it's my fault that my son stabbed somebody. Like it's, sure, you know, I work too much and I don't pay enough attention to him. And like, I have failed as a mother because, of course, as mothers, we think like, of course, it has to be our fault. Right, anything right. Our kids do is like our fault. And right. So there's a lot of these like her reliving days. And instead of being disconnected from her son, she is so happy that he's not in jail that she just like clings to him. And they have these like, and her son is very much like, whoa, like what's going on? Like, you never want to talk to me. You're never interested in like what I have to say. And she like almost starts crying because she's like, you're right. Like I wasn't, I was so, you just get swept up in life. And like, you just, every day is so busy. And then she looks up and she's like, that's how my son feels, is that I'm just disconnected. And there was this whole very sweet, like as a mom reading it, you just seeing her relive these moments with her son that she thought she was never going to see again. And like, he's a little boy and he runs to her and like wants to be held. And her husband's like,
that's making me like emotional.
I know. And she like goes back.
About my baby.
I know. And so she goes back to a day and like her husband's like, he's been up since 5. And she's like, go lay down. Like, I'll take him. And she's like, I never would have said that. Like in this real day that I lived, I didn't say that. I was like, no, I'm exhausted too. Like, stay up with me and like, let's deal with him. But she's so like entranced by getting to see she gets to go back in time and like see her child as a baby.
Aww.
And isn't that like what we all wish we could do, is like go back for like one day just to like live that time with your kids again. And she's just like stares at him and like holds him, and that's like, she, that is the moment when she realizes like, it's not my fault, you know, I love my son and like I know that he loves me. And she just learns a lot about like herself and relationships. Uh-huh. And, but there is like the whole mystery element to it.
Yeah.
And there were some twists and I literally gasped out loud. I literally was like,
really?
What? Like it goes in a way that I was not expecting. I don't know if Detective Anna would guess it or not, but you know me, I'm flying through the book blind. I'm like, I don't know. I was swept up in the moments with her son. And like, so there's a really good mystery element to it.
Okay.
The time travel thing was like, it just is what it is. She just keeps going back in time. So like, if that's not your cup of tea, I still think people would enjoy it, even if you're, it's not like The Time Traveler's Wife. Like it's, she's going back in time for a reason. And she's trying to figure out like, why am I reliving this day? Because each day has a purpose. She's reliving each day for a purpose. And so she's trying to work out clues. It was just really interesting. It was really different. It was super different from like the stuff that I usually read. Overall, really liked it. Would recommend.
Does she go back? Does she, in between going back in time, does she also go like present day?
No.
Go see her?
She's only going back.
Okay. Okay.
So she's going, and like at first it's slow. It's like the day before and then the day before that and then the day before that. And then slowly she starts jumping like weeks
further back,
and then it's months, and then it's like a year at a time.
How old is her son when
he's 18. So she goes back like the day before she meets her husband.
Wow.
That's as far as she goes back. And then things kind of
devolve. Or not devolve.
Kind of like, that's kind of like as far as she goes back. Yeah. But it is super interesting, super unique. The twists were, I thought, really good. And it's not super, like, dark. Like, there's no... It's not super dark, which I enjoyed, because you just never know.
I know, yeah. What's the name of it again?
It's called Wrong Place, Wrong Time by Gillian McAllister. Last book, best book, save the best for last.
Okay, I'm so excited.
Caught Up by Liz Tomford. Third book in the Windy City series. You guys. It is my mission. Help me, if you will. If you've read this book, DM Anna on our Instagram and do not leave her alone until she reads The Right Move.
I know. I can't read. I really want to jump to Caught Up because I'm a sucker for the single dad trope.
I know.
But I don't want to read it because I want to go read Right Move first.
I promise you will love The Right Move. Like, thought like you wouldn't like it. Like,
no, book, I trust you.
Book one.
I trust you.
Skip it. It's called Mile High. Skip it. It's good, not great. Everyone who has DM'd us has said the exact same thing. Like, it's fine. It's nothing to write home about. The Right Move is so good. You will love Ryan Shea.
Oh, no, I've got it downloaded, like, right now.
There was someone DMing me about it, and I was, like, freaking out with her because nobody else has, like, read it. And she was like, oh, my God, I love Ryan. I was like, I know. It's so good. I talked about it in a previous episode. Not going to talk about it. This is book three. This is follows Kai, and he is a baseball player, and he's a single dad. He is very overprotective over his son, and he keeps firing nanny after nanny after nanny. And finally, his coach is like, fucking enough. My daughter is on a hiatus. She's like a famous baker, like Gordon Ramsay level famous. Wow. But she's like kind of having a burnout moment. She's come home for the summer, and he's like, oh, great. You have nothing to do. You can't keep a nanny to save your life. The kid seems to like you. You're going to be his nanny. And he's like, absolutely fucking not. No. Absolutely. Like, he's kind of a little bit neurotic about his son. Like, he's just very protective, which, like, you know we love.
How old is his son?
A baby. He's, like, 16 months old. But he's an actual... Okay. Someone DM'd...
He's an actual baby? I did see that DM.
Did you see that DM?
Rebecca Mack. Yeah.
It was like... Yeah, he's, like, an actual baby and not, like, a genius baby like in Becca Mack.
He's not, like, an 18-month-old baby putting five-word sentences together.
He says dada. That's the only word he says, as he should, at 15 months old. Okay?
Yeah.
So he is precious, and like it's different than like Adam, because like Kai is the dad.
Yeah.
So she becomes the nanny. Her name is Miller, and it is just, and at first he is like not about her, not into it, like very annoyed.
Yeah.
But you know, sparks are flying, but she's so cute with his kid, and he is so cute. He calls him Bug when he sees him. A man and his child, like, it's so hot. It's so hot. And
Theo, like, we are suckers. Adam, like, we can't.
The whole team is, like, obsessed with him. And, like, the coach is upset. Was like, this is all very unrealistic. And it was also, like, Kai was the only one that had a child on the entire team. And I'm like, you guys.
Really?
Really? Like, that's not true.
So I have a question. I don't know if this is a spoiler, if you can't tell us, but where's Kai's mom?
His name is
Bug.
I should know this. I just read it. So like he was a one night stand, or like they hooked up and she got pregnant, didn't tell him, showed up on his doorstep with a 6-month old baby and was like, I can't do this anymore. Here he is. And like dropped him off to Kai and was like, bye. And just left. And so Kai has a lot of unresolved kind of trauma around the fact that he like missed the first 6 months of his son's life. He didn't know he existed. And so he feels really bad about leaving him all the time to go play baseball. Because it's like, obviously they have to travel a lot.
So much.
And there's a lot. Yeah. Baseball games, like they have a lot of baseball games as compared
away
to like
games, a lot
football
of
games, right? Like there's a lot. I don't know a lot about sports, but I do know that. So he's struggling with that. And so that's why his coach is like, Miller will travel with us. She'll come with us, with your son. And he's like, that's the only way I'll keep playing, because he wants to retire. But he's like, they're all the main characters in this book are like, in the series are like wildly good, like insane.
of course.
And so, you know, like they're like, no, we can't lose him. We'll do whatever it takes. And so like Miller travels with the team, which again would never happen.
Got it.
But it is so fucking good. This series has the most beautiful balance of like, there's a story, there's character development, there's plot, but there's steam, and it's so good.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I have not, like, this is truly, these two books are some of my all-time favorite sports romances, like, we have ever, ever read. Ever.
Okay, I'm gonna, all right, I, listen.
Please start the right move.
I will
move. Start, please.
I know. I will start right move, because I want to read Caught Up, and I know, okay.
You don't have to read the
no,
right
I
move
want
first.
To read, I want to read Right Move, though, because everything I've heard about it, I love
yes.
about it.
Yes, and Kai is, like, very briefly in the Right Move, so, like, they kind of introduce okay. him. Okay. And like
and
his
I
son.
Read fast.
You read
They're
super
like
fast.
They're like what?
400? Well, the Right Move is quite long. It was one of those that we felt like, remember we talked about like that maybe they're long because of like the word count. Oh yeah. It's like 499 pages. So it is long for like for a sports romance, but like it reads That's super okay. fast and Caught Up. I feel like is not, oh no, it is. It's 508 pages. So that is long. Okay. I was like flying through it. Felt like it was a great length. Did not think it was too long. I am telling you guys, like, I don't know who, I'm so sure people are sick of me talking about this series, but it's so good. And the next book is about Kai's younger brother. And that is a Vegas marriage. So.
Ooh. All right.
Y'all, it's so good. Like, even if you don't like sports romances, I will say there's more sports in this series. Like, not.
That's fine.
Not like science, but there is like some, but it like feels very well done. Like it's
right.
Other than the fact that no other person on the team has a child, which I find just,
which is odd.
But you guys would love it. Like, please, please, please read it. It's so, so good. I can't wait for Christina and Anna to read it. I will pester Anna until she starts it. Don't you worry.
I will.
So if you're hearing this, check in with Anna on Instagram and be like, Anna, have you started the Right Move yet? This won't come out for a couple weeks, so like by then she should have finished it.
I know, I kept waiting because I wanted to read it after Two Twisted Crowns, but we keep pushing, or not we keep pushing, but like we have so much going on that we all haven't been able to read it together, and I wanted Right Move to be my like book hangover cure.
I know.
But now I'm like, I think I'm just going to read it.
I think you...
And then Caught Up can be maybe my book
Caught
hangover
Up can be
cure.
Your book hangover read. There you go. Okay. Friends, that is it. That is all the books that we have for you today. I hope you guys enjoyed this. This was a little impromptu on our end.
Impromptu.
So hope you liked it. If you have not joined our Patreon yet, please consider doing so. I will have the link in our show notes. We love all of our patrons so much, and we post so much fun content over there. And I know we've talked a lot about this before, but they will be getting a lot of like exclusive CC3 content whenever that comes out. So join us over there and make sure you are following us on Instagram at Flights of Fantasy Podcast and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next time, cheers and happy reading.
Cheers, listeners. Bye.
Bye.